Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is going to be the seven promises to those who overcome. I happen to be going through something the past week looking for something and stumbled upon this, so I thought it would be a good thing to share some of the glory that God does bestow upon us, where he actually promises us to do something, and what he gives us for that. And if we do this, here's the thing. We have to overcome our life in the world the way we would live in this world. If we overcome that life, he promises to do certain things for us. And I'll go through that with you in a minute. But as always, like I said, you know, I have a song for you in the morning. And I do have that. This will be a two-part message, I'm sure, at least, because there's so much ground to cover. And then we're going to go through the prayer request. But before we get started, here's our song. This will give everybody a chance to get here. Put your finger on Genesis 4, chapter 4, though, verse 7, and 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll go from there when I come back after the prayer request. But here's our song for this morning. It's There's a New Name Written Down in Glory. Your name should be written down in glory. That's a great song. Anyhow, folks, like I said to you, I wanted to go into the prayer request. And there was quite a few this week, to be honest with you. We still have an issue with Tim and him going through his leg problems. Tim W., Sandy Washer's friend. And again, pray for Sandy Washer and all the wives that have lost their husbands in the past year. Sandy was one, and Marcy Bowden, and our friend Star. There's several others, folks, but there's people that this week, Tom and Sheila Coulter, friends of a friend of mine online, the mom had passed, which was, Tom's dad had passed, had passed away. So Tom and Sheila are going through some really tough times. George Fontaine's mom was back in the hospital this week. And I'm not sure how that's going for him. Jim Bailey's brother, had gone in the hospital with a heart problem. And the very next day, or that day, his sister Mary, or Marie, went in the hospital for the same thing, heart issues. So we've got a lot of people that are going through issues right now, be it heart and cancer and things like that. Bill Peters wants to bring his mom home from Maryland, and he's working on that and to get her home. So please pray for Bill Peters to be able to get that straightened out. My daughter down in Connecticut, her children were sick this week, and I haven't had a chance to play catch-up with them, but my understanding is they were all sick, all three of them, so please pray for them. Pauline Broderick's son, Joshua, went into the hospital this week, and I'm not sure what the whole outcome of that is yet. I'm waiting to find out from Pauline, but her son went into the hospital, and I believe he had something wrong with his heart also. I'm not positive. But if we would pray for those that are going through that. Another friend, she brought her father home from, I think it was hospice. My friend Kathy Pinkham here in Maine for the last month, doing all she could to get her father from where he was back home with family, where his spirits would be uplifted. You know, sometimes we want to put our folks into a home where they would get better care and everything. But when they're around family, boy, do they brighten up. I see it when I go into the old folks' home, and I notice that, you know, after time seeing them there and nobody's visiting, and then family comes and the joy on their faces. But can we just pray for all these people, folks, this morning? And then pray for the message. Pray for that this message will touch the hearts of others, that when we read it, we'll see the light. We'll understand what the Lord's trying to teach us here. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us, for the day, for the wonderful weather, and for holding out and giving us an opportunity to take care of things that were needing to be taken care of. But especially, Lord, for all of the people that are going through these problems, the problems of their health and the problems of taking care of family and having bad knees, and my friend Joe, who's struggling here in Maine, Joe Galano, who's suffering with bad back and back knees, and he did something to his arm the other day. He's been working real hard to get some things taken care of in his own home, but please pray for Joe and pray for Rebecca and the children down in Connecticut, my granddaughters that were all sick this past week. We just ask you, give everybody the strength, Lord, that they would be able to see that it's only temporary, that no matter what happens, that you promise us a better life, Lord. I thank you for this and for the message, and just help us to get through our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, these seven promises, the first one's the tree of life. We're promised the tree of life. And then second one is we'll not face the second death. We're not going to face any of that pain that comes with the second death. We may see the second death, but we're not going to be part of that. The hidden manna, the white stone, and the new name. That's number three. The power over nations, a rod of iron. The promise will be given of white garments, unspotted, unwrinkled. Will be a pillar in the temple of God. Promise seven is to sit with the Lord on his throne. We as Christians should not allow sin to rule over our lives. That's one of the things I wrote right in the top of my notes. You know, we seem to allow for sin in and then don't realize until after it's too late that we've committed a sin. But, you know, just because we commit a sin doesn't mean that we're not saved. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go to heaven. And it doesn't mean that God's going to strap us to a whipping post and take it out on us. Oh, he'll chastise us. He'll correct us. He'll make us realize in our heart how wrong we were, especially if we're a Christian. You know, when I lived in the world doing the things that most people do in this world and neglect the fact that a lot of what we do is sin, I didn't even acknowledge what I was doing. And that's another thing, folks. You got to understand, in order to know sin, you have to acknowledge it. Go through this. Genesis 4, because we have so much to cover. Genesis 4 in verse 7 says this, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? So, if thou doest well, isn't he going to accept us? Of course he is. If thou dost not well, sin lie at the door. That means our sin is there present. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So, are you going to allow for sin to stay right there in your life and then rule over you? Or are you going to kick sin out of your life and acknowledge it and say to the Lord, please forgive me? If we do what is asked of us, we acknowledge sin and turn from it. Not reacting to it, we overcome it. Most people would say they understand right from wrong. But not all resist sin and admit that God's way is better than man's way. You see, most of us, we'll see our wrong. We'll have a repentant heart, but we won't walk away from it. I know. I can remember being caught up in my sin, knowing it was sin, and because it was an emotional, euphoric doing what I felt like, because that's what I do, that's who I am, isn't that too bad attitude, I stayed within that sin. But, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to walk away from that. That's why as Christians, we are to be examples. That means we're supposed to go, look, I know that's wrong. I'm going to get away from it. Not stay with my sin for a season and not to be allowed to have that sin. God doesn't allow it. What he does is God says, listen, you commit the sin. He'll allow you to stay on that path. God's not going to pull you off of that immediately. He might not pull you off it at all. Because it's your choice, it's your free will, and you've heard me say it in the past, that you have the option to continue to walk on that path, or turn back and say, okay, obviously this is not right by God, and I have to be obedient to my Lord in order to be a follower of God, and then walk away from it. Let's hear it. Let's look at this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in verse 10 it says this, which in time past were not a people at all, but were now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Excuse me. There's a lot written here, folks. First it says you're chosen, and you're chosen, and you know how you know you're chosen? Because in your heart you know right from wrong. Within you, you know that that stuff that you do, the sins that you commit, the sins that you've committed, you now realize we're wrong. That's how you know you're chosen. And a royal priesthood. What's a royal priesthood? That means you belong to Christ. That means you should be sharing the word and sharing the scriptures and living right. A holy nation. A holy nation is those that decide now to stop living the way they did and start living the way God wants them to. And then it says a peculiar people. All Christians are peculiar people, believe it or not. When you get talking to them, if you're around people that are Christians and you're a worldly person, you're looked at as very peculiar. Take my word for it. And you know that if you're a Christian. Because most people, they look at you as if you think you're better than somebody, right? They say, oh, you're on your holy horse, or you know, you're getting on a soapbox, or you're a Bible thumper. Well, you're a peculiar person then. Then you should show forth the praises of him also, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then it says here, in the time past, you weren't really a people. But in this world, you're just something. And we take the word people as just people today. But in the old times, there were people that were just vagabonds, and they were considered a nothing. And then there were the ones that were followers of God, or followers of someone, or they belonged to Pharaoh, and that made them great. They were Romans. But they weren't really a people, because they still lived in darkness. It wasn't until God called them out of darkness and made them a marvelous light. And then he gave them mercy, and that mercy was for them to end up going to heaven. He forgave them for their sins. That's what we should be asking for. We've been called out of the darkness of this world, and our reward by God, our Father, is he promises us the tree of life. You see, when we were in the garden, and I don't mean us personally, so let's not get carried away, folks, but when Adam and Eve were in the garden, our ancestors, they decided to eat that apple, the fruit of knowledge, right? Now, some people will question whether it was a peach, whether it was a pear, whether it was an apple, whether it was an acorn. I don't care what it was. But we chose to eat that fruit of knowledge. In that fruit of knowledge, God said, listen, I asked you not to do that. Because then you now have the knowledge of death. You have the knowledge of sin. You know to do all these things. I gave you a certain specific thing to do, and you didn't follow it. So he sent us out of the garden. But look at here. We're going to go to the first promise. In Revelation 2:7, it says this. This is the first promise. Now pay attention. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. When Adam and Eve had disobeyed him, they were removed from the garden where the tree of knowledge was. And that's in Genesis 3:24. Now think about this. That means the new promises will have all this new knowledge. If we do what? If we hear the word, and if we listen to this, what the Spirit says to us, and what it says to the churches, and churches, as you know, anybody that knows right and wrong knows, churches try to teach us to live by God. To him that overcometh, it says. Overcome what? Overcome this world. Overcome the sins that we desire, because we're foolish people believing that we can live in the world as the world. I told you, this is going to be a long message, folks, so get ready, okay? The first promise is to listen, and it says to pay attention to the Spirit. And then it says the first promise is this, I'll give you that knowledge. I'll give you the knowledge to know right and wrong. I'll give you the knowledge to look at the world and see it for what it really is. However, because Jesus and what he's done for us, he's given us another chance to have that knowledge. You see, when we were kicked out of the garden, that was it. We're done. God said, I'm not going to give you the knowledge. And then Jesus came. And because Jesus died on the cross, he took away all our sins. It says every time, in my notes, every time you resist temptation and overcome sin, you take a bite of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. You are storing up for eternal life on the new earth that God creates. How does that happen? It only happens because we refuse to sin, we acknowledge it, and even if we get caught up in it, we go repent and ask for forgiveness. That's the knowledge that God's talking about, knowing that that's wrong and then not doing it. And if you do something wrong, that you acknowledge God and say, I'm sorry, Father, for I have sinned. Please forgive me. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. 1 says this, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And the second verse, it says, and John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice when we get our new body? When we no longer suffer? When we no longer have all the aches and pains and the cancers and the heartaches and the heart diseases and all of that stuff? Won't it be nice when we get to heaven and we look down and we say, boy, what a mess we were making of our life, and God has now forgiven us? He says, I know you're going to be sinning, but I sent my son to die on the cross for all those sins, and I'm going to take them all away when the time comes. But you must be one that says, please, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned. And look at your past sins and say, forgive me for them. The second promise is this. We will not see the second death. We're not going to. You know why we're not going to? Everybody's going to see the judgment seat. Some are going to see the second death. You see, the Bible says once to die, but there's two deaths. The death is this. The Bible calls it this. There's two deaths. The first death is the death of the body. Then there's the death of the spirit. See, within us, we have the spirit to know right from wrong. That spirit of right from wrong is going to be killed off, too. It's either going to be killed off because we've done wrong, and it's going into the second death, which is hell. Because the first death is the body dies. Then the spirit goes to judgment seat. And that judgment seat, you either get cast into hell or you go to heaven. And you know whose choice it is where we get to go, when we get to go up to heaven or we go to hell? Not God. It's ours right here on this planet. We make the choice to continue to sin and do wrong. And God doesn't say, well, I'm going to throw you into hell just for the heck of it because I figure, well, I got enough people in heaven. No, he says, you know what? You made the choice that you wanted to serve Satan, and he's your ruler, he's your leader, and you rejected me and neglected to do as I asked you to do, which was turn from your wicked ways and stop serving the world and start serving me. You made that choice, no one else. As in verse 11, he that hath an ear, right? In Revelations 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. When we use everything available that Scripture teaches to avoid sin, we live for the Lord and avoid facing the second death, which is hell, the fiery pit. Your choice, folks. No one else's. It's because we recognize the sin as unacceptable, and we refuse to partake in that life. You see, God says, look, I had to let that sin be there. Because you weren't paying attention, I have to let you suffer so you'll come closer to me. Promise number 3, we're given a new name, which is written down in the book of life, just like the song says, a new name written down in glory. We have the hidden manna. The hidden manna is the knowledge that's hidden within us, and it should be the hidden manna that we learned from the scriptures. It should be that we learned all of this stuff and stored it in our heart, like the Bible says. Hide my word in your heart. Excuse me. So that you know right from wrong, that you'll do what the Bible teaches, the truth in scriptures that we have, that we've studied and kept inside. And then the white stone. The white stone is your new name. And it's written down on a hard stone, and they call it a white flint stone. Very hard stone. That's because it can never be erased once the Lord writes your name down. And you know when your name gets written down as a new name? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it never gets taken away. Because the minute you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're no longer covered under the same thing others are. See, the rest are all covered under the law. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you're a Christian. You've become a new creature, the Bible says. And then your old ways are passed away. And the new ways are that you start to serve Christ. And you become able to acknowledge right from wrong the right way. Not just because the world says this is right or wrong. You do what's right because you know that's what the Bible says. And that's what God says. And God is the Word, and the Word is God. What does that mean? That means that the Bible is what God said. God is the Word. God is the way, and it's the only way that you're going to be able to be a good Christian. And it's the only way you're going to get to heaven is by being obedient to the Scriptures, being obedient to God, and living correctly. You can go out in this world and say, well, I know right from wrong. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a thief. I don't do this. I don't do that. God doesn't weigh your sins the same as you do, you know. You can be a liar. You can be a cheat. You can be a thief. You could be none of those. But I'll guarantee you, you're still a sinner. Unless you accept Jesus Christ and acknowledge his ways written in scriptures, then you're still a sinner, no matter what you say, and you're still a sinner till the day you die. Even a Christian is still a sinner. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means none of us are righteous, no, not one, nobody. We're no better than the next guy. The only difference is those that accept Jesus Christ or those that reject Jesus Christ. You have a choice, reject them or accept them. And in that, with the rejection of Jesus Christ, you've made your choice to go to the second death. And with the accepting of Jesus Christ, you'll never see the second death. Promise 4 says this. Let's go back a second. Your name is written down. In 2 Peter 1:4 it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. He promises your name to be written down if you just do what he asks you to do. That by these, it says in that same verse, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, when we start to realize, wait a minute, that's just the lust of my heart. I'm lusting after sin. I'm starting to see things that I might desire, but they're not godly. If God was standing in front of me and I was to commit those sins, would that be acceptable to God, or would God look at me and go, what are you doing? Like we do as an adult with our children. What are you doing? Most of us would sit there like befuddled and go, oh, I don't know. What was I thinking? Well, here's the thought. You know better. Start acknowledging the sin in your life and start casting it out. Start living according to the way God wants you to. And you'll have a fruitful life. You'll be at peace. You'll enjoy the kindness. You'll get rid of all of those hard feelings that you have. You'll start looking at life differently. You won't be desiring the things of this world, living as this world. Promise 4, number 4, is the power over nations a rod of iron, it says. That's the promise. We have the power over nations. You see, the church could have power over the nations. And the church, by the way, folks, you know who the church is, right? The church is not a building with a steeple, and most of them have crosses or whichever, and, you know, they have where people meet. That's a meeting house for like-minded people to enjoy the scriptures, to study them, to read them, to have Bible study, to meet, have fellowship. That's what the church is for, the building. The church is the people, because you will be respected by nations because you are a righteous individual. Rather than, like we see, some of the rulers of this world who will murder their own, will cause genocide in their own countries, who will beat their people for going against them, and then imprison them or kill them. And there's so much other injustice that's going on around, and we'll go into that, because the world is one of these most unrighteous places in all of the universe. This earth is filled with people that are so disgusting. God does not want you in heaven. The only ones he wants in heaven are the ones that are willing to acknowledge their sin and turn from it. And then when they do, people see you as a righteous person, and they will come to you for guidance and strength so that they can have a peaceful life. This world cries peace, peace, but it doesn't want peace. It's obvious when you take a good look around. You can see that. So the promise here is the power of nations and a rod of iron. That means that you can rule, and you can rule righteously. The world's filled with wickedness and unrighteousness. There's so much injustice happening, and the only righteousness is God's word, the Bible. Now, you can think what you may. It won't make a difference to me, because I'm not the one that's doing the deciding for you. But I can tell you this, you sure are. You're deciding whether you're going to serve Lord or you think I'm a fool. And everything that I say, you may think, well, you know, Preacher Bill, that's good for you. It doesn't work for me. And that's just what you think. It's not what I think. It's what God's Bible says. God's word says that we're either going to refuse the way of the world, or we're going to live like the world in unrighteousness, in the injustices, and continue to let it happen, and we will never have peace. But if you go out in this world, point out the sin, and you share it the way it's supposed to be, you will see that you're a more righteous person, a happier person. You won't delve into those desires of the world. You'll refuse the wickedness and the injustices, and you'll serve with a rod of iron. This gives us eternal life in heaven when we do that. When we begin to live our life righteously, refusing to live as the world, we gain the strength. This is the rod. We gain the strength to rule our life. It doesn't have to be everybody else's, you know. I don't have to go around and jam the Bible down people's throats. But I rule my life with that rod of iron so that I can be looked at as a righteous person. That teaches us and others the truth. The truth and the power of the word can only come by serious study of scriptures, teaching and training, not just ourselves but others, using the rod of iron and the truth we share. I'm going to let it go for here right now because we're going on to 5, and I'm going to have to save that for next week. But I can tell you this, folks, we aren't finished here. This is something that I think we all need to pay attention to. If you don't believe me, then I guess you'll have to go on your own. But, you know, God's given us promises, and he's promising to take care of us. And when we go through the next ones, you're going to see what the real blessings start to become, because he promised us all those, and he's going to give us that life that we deserve. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I have another song for you. I have to go back and get it because I have a feeling it's not going to be where I want it to be. Let me see. No, I didn't think so. Okay. Yeah, I'll get to it. Just give me 1 second, folks. It's here. But thank you for being here. God bless you. Pray for the little girl down in North Carolina, by the way, folks. I forgot that one this morning. The one that they found and still not what's going on, whether it was her mother or the boyfriend or whoever. Somebody's going to be blamed for her death. Yes, here we go. Get to the top of this. It's interesting how computers work, folks. You can click on pages all day. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. That's our next song. I don't want to be passed by, so I should hope that you wouldn't either. And here it is. Let's see. We'll get rid of that. Put that one in there. And yes, I use a computer to do most of this. If I didn't, I would never get there. There you go, folks. Ask me not, O gentle Savior. All right, we'll see you next week. Come find me, Preacher William Barnes, over on William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. I see that often. Come see me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, on Facebook. Thank you. Let me know how you like the message. God bless you. Have a great day. being here, folks. Have a great day.